It is lovely to have you here. And as Peter has said, we've been working through Matthew's Gospel, and we're in the Beatitudes, doing three at once, which is rather ambitious, actually. There's so much in this teaching of Jesus. And Peter alluded to the amount of injustice we see in the world. And Jesus is speaking about justice, but he brings the focus closer to home. He says, let's start with a heart check. And the Beatitudes give us a heart check. Before we begin in this message, during this last week, as I was preparing, I heard an archival interview on the radio. They were going through some of the archives. And this was a BBC radio interview from 1998. It was of a person who is now a major world leader, but at the time was a businessman. He'd been a very successful businessman in the 80s. Things had gone downhill. And then he'd worked his way back up again and written a book about it. And he was being interviewed as a businessman about his changes. In his book, he mentioned his beliefs about revenge. And the revenge, the interviewer picked up on this and asked him, do you believe in revenge? The businessman said, and I got the transcript of the interview, I believe strongly in getting even. If somebody has hurt you, I think that if you have the opportunity, you should certainly go out of your way to do a number on them. Imagine that. Imagine that, and that attitude towards getting even. He went on and said, the clergy has called, the ministers, the priests, the rabbis, they've all said, what a terrible thing to say, that's against our teachings. And he said, I just believe it. I believe in getting an eye for an eye. He's emphatic about this. The interviewer asked this businessman, can you give an example? And he explained that when he was going through a hard time, there were people who could have helped him and didn't. And then he said, now I have the opportunity to do a number on those people. And I will tell you, I'm having a lot of fun with the opportunity. Can you imagine such hardness of heart? Such a commitment to that selfish instinct to get revenge. What an astounding statement. I was blown away by that someone was so open, even rejoicing in taking revenge openly. Peter said there's injustice in our world. We have plenty of evidence of that. And how contrary is this to the teachings of Jesus? How contrary the teachings of Jesus when he invites us into his call for righteousness and justice in our lives and in the world. So, we are in the book of Matthew. We have been building up to the Beatitudes, and we have seen Jesus proclaiming that the kingdom of God is near. Showing the kingdom of God with his healing and teaching, and then calling his disciples and teaching them how to be part of the kingdom of God in their relationships. And we will be clear, we know that our salvation is on the basis of grace. This is not about earning our way into the kingdom. This is as Jesus is teaching to his disciples about how to be part of this kingdom well. And his teaching is pretty uncompromising. We are up to the second trio. The second trio, those who are seeking to live with justice and righteousness, who are seeking to bring that. And we're using the words justice and righteousness a little bit interchangeably today because they are related words in the original language. So, the first one, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. A few things about the words here. Some translations would have hungering and thirsting for righteousness. It's a little bit awkward, but it is more accurate. The sense in these words is an ongoing verb, continuing to hunger and continuing to thirst. And these desires are described in terms as if your life depended on it. You hunger for food, you thirst for water, your life depends on those. Continuing to desire as if your life depends on it, righteousness and justice. And there is good news for these people who have this desire. Their desire will be filled. They will be satisfied. And again, the original language there, the sense of being filled is complete. It is not partial. People who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be completely satisfied. There are two contexts in which I think we could look at this phrase, and which I think is evident in Jesus' teaching. We've heard some of it coming through before. There's a personal sense in our spiritual walk, and then there's a public sense, because as Eileen said last week, justice is what God's holiness looks like in public. It's a very good phrase. So firstly, looking at the personal sense of someone who is desiring to live rightly and to live justly. Firstly, an encouragement. This is a good desire. This is in keeping with God's kingdom. This desire is something that the Lord wants to bless. The Lord is pleased with this desire and will fully satisfy it. And for those of us living after the resurrection, after Pentecost, which is us now, we know the Holy Spirit is with us to help us and works within us, transforming us to be more and more like Jesus in character. This is a good desire. And the relationship between the words righteousness and justice gives us an indication this is not a lonely, self-righteous thing where someone can say, well, I have my integrity, no matter how it affects other people. It is not an individual sense of righteousness, because that trips over into self-righteousness. There is more than one person in the kingdom of God. Righteousness in God's kingdom has a relational context. In seeking righteousness, we cannot just consider ourselves, but be paying attention to others and how our actions are affecting them. We've mentioned the relationship between righteousness and justice. So, as a start, we certainly don't want to be causing injustice. And if we think of the things that cause injustice so that we're aware, so we know what we want to avoid, selfishness and greed, people taking more than they have a right to, people taking from others, that is a source of injustice in the world. And another major source is prejudice. And Eileen spoke to us very powerfully about some of those, that second aspect of righteousness and justice last week. Seeking to live with righteousness and justice involves a heart check. The Beatitudes are about checking our heart, the core of our being. It certainly involves avoiding the causes of injustice, and instead looking to live with a generosity towards other people. A generosity. We need extra generosity to overcome that human inclination to prejudice, because it is a human inclination. We need extra effort into openness and generosity to overcome our human inclination to selfishness, because of the sin in the world, that is an inclination in us. Seeking to live, hungering and thirsting for righteousness, seeking to live in a way that brings justice in the world, involves overcoming and attending to and avoiding our inclination to selfishness and prejudice and a desire to find ways proactively to be generous. That's our first sense, personal generosity. The second sense we might be seeking to hungering and thirsting for righteousness and justice is where there has been an injustice, either in our own life or in the lives of others around us or in a situation that we're aware of. And we are longing to see God's justice come into that situation because that injustice is not the way of the Lord. It is not God's plan for humanity, and we long to see justice and righteousness upheld. Again, Jesus says, good news. This is a good desire. The Lord blesses this desire, and he will satisfy it fully. Our frustration is that we don't get the time frame. We don't get to choose the time frame, and some things will only be fulfilled at the end of the age. But Jesus promises this desire for justice will be satisfied fully. And as I was preparing, and I don't know about you as you're hearing this, if you think about situations of injustice that you have experienced, knowing that the Lord sees this, knowing that the Lord says a desire for justice is a good thing, knowing that the Lord says this desire, it will be fully satisfied. In time, it will be fully satisfied. And I think from other places in the scripture, we can add that the Lord would say, leave it to me. There are times where we can have a greater peace to forgive, to be free of those burdens, because the Lord says justice will be satisfied. We're called to seek righteousness and justice, and these are good desires. One other little note I'm going to make on this is that sometimes, I'm sure you've seen it, often when someone is seeking justice on behalf of someone else, but sometimes for themselves, this happens. Someone becomes an angry advocate for justice, a self-righteous advocate for justice. This is not the Lord's way. This is not in keeping with the humility and the dependence on God and the love for the Lord that the Lord is speaking of. We're not called to self-righteousness. We don't attain our own righteousness. But we're seeking God's righteousness. So, again, we need generosity. Generosity towards others. Jesus calls us to love our enemies. And we are called to work for justice and righteousness. To work for justice humbly. Okay, the first of our Beatitudes today. A lot packed in there. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. The second, blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Mercy is defined as compassionate treatment towards an offender, or refraining from punishing someone in one's power. Mercy, again, is a generous view towards others and actually a restrained view towards oneself in terms of one's own power. generous in compassion towards an offender, refrain and restraint in using your power to punish. It might be easy to think that here we live in a small-ish town, in a small-ish country, in a corner of the globe, if you can excuse that poor geography, talking about a sphere. In a small place to think, what power do we have? When I was preparing this, I was reminded of a situation as a young adult when I was flatting. And at the start of the year, I had a new flatmate, a group of us flatting together. And she had a habit that I found pretty annoying. Believe it or not, that happens. And in her habit, she had a tendency, her behaviour, you have no idea who she is, it could be slightly sulking. It's kind of when everyone started to do something and we were all welcoming, and she'd sort of pull back and sulk and look away as if maybe attention seeking. And this slightly got on my nerves because we were all trying so hard to be friendly. And then one time, about 6 weeks into the year, this happened. We were all getting up to go somewhere, and you could see deliberately she stepped back and looked away. Just as we were all ready to go somewhere together. And I was about to turn around and just say, oh, come on. We're all trying so hard to be friendly. And as I was turning, I was aware of that frustration in me. And as I was turning, I prayed, Lord, she's insecure and you care about her. Holy Spirit, be with me, give me your words and your tone of voice as I speak, because my mouth was already opening. I'm not actually a hot-tempered person at all, but something was about to come out. I turned around and I spoke to her, and I can tell you there was a small miracle in that moment, because the words that came out and the tone of voice was not at all what I was anticipating or thinking. I can't actually remember it, but I do know the sense of the Spirit used my desperate prayer and spoke in that moment. And her attitude, her shoulders dropped, her face smiled, something changed. And then from then on, didn't go away completely, but from then on, that was a turning point that behaviour started to decrease in this person. And I am grateful for the Lord's mercy to her, but also the Lord's mercy to me in enabling me to become a fractionally more merciful person in that moment. Jesus said, blessed, happy are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. In other places in Scripture, we're told the measure you receive will be the measure you give will be the measure you receive. Sometimes, I don't know how that fits together with God's abundant free grace, because both of those are in there. But as we go to show mercy, we can be confident that we will receive mercy, because our Lord is more gracious and more merciful than I am, more gracious and more merciful than any of us. So if we're able to show mercy, we can be grateful and happy, because we know we will receive mercy. We will. It's the second of our Beatitudes. The third this morning, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. So again, a look at the words. Pure can also be translated clean. It is often translated clean. It means unmixed or unpolluted, single, focused, of one intent. And heart in the Bible always refers to the whole inner person. It is not merely the emotions, as our culture uses the word heart. It's the governing centre, including the mind, the desires, the will, the sense of purpose, So to be pure in heart is to have clean intentions, to have pure, unmixed motivations in your governing centre, that which is guiding the core of your being. What a wonderful thing. And yet, if you're familiar with the book of James, he tells us, if anyone says he or she is without sin, the truth is not in them. We know we never have perfectly pure motives. If we are honest, we never have perfectly pure intent. And Jesus calls us to this, but we must start with honesty. The Beatitudes are giving us a heart check. So we need to notice. This is a call to notice our motivations with a courageous self-honesty. This calling, blessed are the pure in heart, this is not for the lily-livered. It's not for those lacking courage. Because it takes courage to be deeply self-honest about your intent, your motivations, what is all of what is going on inside you, that the Lord might purify us. So it's noticing when we're thinking, well, why did she react poorly? I was just trying to help. Oh, and I was trying to make myself look good. Noticing the second part of that. Oh, I was just saying something to be encouraging. Oh, I'm just encouraging you. And I'm using those words to make a point about something that I think you should know. I'm just sharing some helpful information and being a little judgmental because I think you need this information because I think you're doing it wrong. Do we notice the second part of our motivation? Are we noticing that and bringing it to the Lord so he can purify our heart? Because there is an amazing blessing with this one. The pure in heart are blessed, are happy, because they will see God. We read through the Old Testament God's holiness and what it was a remarkable thing when Moses went into the tent of meeting and could pray to God face to face as one speaks to a friend. We have a holy God. But as our hearts, our inner person, our core of our being is purified, is cleansed, our vision is purified and cleansed, and we become increasingly able to see a holy God. We become increasingly in a position to see a holy God whose magnificence we cannot imagine. What an honour. Jesus said, good news, those with purity of heart, purity and cleanness of intent, will the courageous self-honesty, they will have a clarity of vision and they will see God. In all of these, all three of these Beatitudes, they're giving us a heart check because every aspect of good desire here will be filled. A desire for righteousness and justice in one's own living, that will be filled. God's Spirit is there to help you. That desire will increasingly be filled. A desire to see righteousness and justice in this world around us, praying for that, seeking to live in a way that increases and enables that desire will be filled. God's justice will be filled completely. Giving mercy, a desire to be generous, that desire will be filled. We will give mercy and receive mercy. Mercy will increase when we give mercy. To be pure in heart and single in our focus, that desire will be filled and we will receive and see God and His holiness. I was so grateful for Eileen choosing Be Still, for the presence of the Lord is in this place, the song we sang just before this message. Be still, for the presence of a holy God is in this place. And we come before Him now. We ask Him to minister His grace. Because our Lord wants to bless every good instinct and increase righteousness and holiness and justice and purity in this world. I'm going to pray for us that we increasingly become people who live Jesus's teaching, who allow the Spirit of God to work within us, who invite and desire, hungering and thirsting for the Spirit of God to work in us. I'm going to pray, if you want to add to these prayers, whether silently or out loud, there will be space to. So let us pray now.